revolving around the general theme of Yom Noroim. It's a tremendous achos to join. I feel it's an honor and a privilege to join, of course, with the Choshva, the world-renowned Rabbi Emeritus, Rabbi Pelkovich Shlita, as well as with Rabbi Schechter, to join this evening. We're hoping, Emet Hashem, to not take too much of your time, but to share with you some Dvar Mayotzim and Alev and this crucial Tkufa Noro of the Yom Noroim. Without further ado, we have Rabbi Pelkovitz, who I see just came out with Siyata Deshmaya, with his latest new book, The New Sefer, and I hope we'll be hearing a little bit from it tonight. Emet Hashem.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are here a few days before the Yom HaDin, before Rosh Hashanah, and our mother, Bora D'Asra, had asked me and Rabbi Schechter to join him in some words of Esorus as we enter into the week of the Slichos. And I'm very happy to be able to accommodate and to share some of my thoughts with you. And you'll please excuse me if I speak while I'm seated rather than standing. I was inspired by the program of the Roosevelts. And from the laughter that comes from the audience, I realize those of you who do have a TV and those of you who do not have a TV. So those of you who laughed and have a TV, so you have one more thing to do tshuva for. In the Slichos, you have an expression that is used, which presents a problem from the very outset. And that is, we say, K'dalim k'roshim, tofachnut losecha, and then we repeat it, and we say, losecha tofachnu, keil rachum v'chadam. Why does it have to be repeated? We already said, K'dalim k'roshim, tofachnut losecha, we come knocking on your door, like a poor individual, like a person who is in need. So why do I have to say it twice? Lo secha tefakna. I once saw in the Sefer many years ago, where he gives a very, very beautiful answer. And I think it's a good introduction to my remarks this evening. And that is that when a person is in need, when a person is basically a mendicant, when he's basically a dal, a rosh, he has nothing. And so we are speaking, of course, here metaphorically, because what we're really saying is that we come to the Yom HaDin and the coin of the realm is not the check that we can write or the cash in our pocket. The coin of the realm is mitzvos and ma'asim tovim, and that's the only way that we can gain entrance into the palace of the king. So what does a poor man do? He knocks on the door. He knocks on the door as if to say, I have nothing. Give me something. And the reason we repeat it twice is the following. And that is that when a person is in need, when a person is a dal, when he's a rosh, when he's a very poor person, he really has a choice of which door to knock on. What door do you come to? Where do you knock on the door? In today's society, for example, if a person was poor, he would go knocking on the door of a social service. He would knock on the door of a person who has political pull. He would knock on the door of anyone that has the ability to gain entry into the office or into the pocket of somebody who can afford to help him and who has the power to help him. Basically, what we do today, if a person is really poor, if a person is in need, he go looking for someone who has political connections and could help him find his way to the right address. The right address is all important. What we're saying when we say slichas, we say Rabbeinu Shlomo, Kedalim u'koroshim, dofaknut lasecha. We are not knocking on the door of the President of the United States. We are not knocking on the door of the governor or the mayor. We are not knocking on the door of a world-renowned philanthropist. Lasecha dofaknut. We're knocking on your door. And the very fact that we know what door to knock on, that's our greatest zchus. That's our greatest merit. That we realize where the right address is. And the right address is to come to the door of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because in the final analysis, the only one who has the power to forgive us, the only one who has the power to show us the derech ha'emes is the Rabbeinu Shlomo. There's nobody else. Kedalim u'koroshim dofaknut lasecha, but lasecha dofaknut. We know which door to come to. We come to your door, not to anybody else's door. B'chlal, when it comes to this time of the year, people are in a mood to do some self-examination. I once said that it is so true that we visit others because of social obligations. Every once in a while you come to a friend or to a house and you knock on the door and you say, I'm here. And you do it because of a social obligation. You want to continue to keep a connection between yourself and this other party. However, when was the last time that instead of coming to visit others, which is because of social pressure and social obligation, when was the last time that we came to visit ourselves? And that's the theme I'd like to touch upon this evening. Because examination of another human being, of another individual, is in the realm only of a doctor. It's not in the realm of a person who was looking for spiritual health, where there the approach has to be self-examination. And self-examination means you visit yourself. You're not visiting someone else. And when you visit yourself, you have to know what emes means. The hardest thing is for a person to be honest with himself. The hardest thing for a person is to be able to examine his own deeds. And ultimately, that's what we do. Ultimately, there is no other way. The story is told that a man once said, I'm looking to buy a compass. So someone said to him, you're looking to buy a compass. Tell me, are you going someplace or do you want to draw a circle? If you remember your school days, you know that you can draw a circle, but that's a compass. You attach it to a pencil and you draw a circle, perfect circle. But then there's the compass that tells you where north is. There's the compass that tells you the direction that a person is supposed to go in. And so when he said, I want to buy a compass, the question that was asked back to him is a very fair one. Do you want to go in circles for the rest of this period of the Yom Nechoyim? Maybe that's been your problem all year round, and that is that we keep going in a circle instead of looking to find where north is. It's a different kind of a compass. It's a self-examination that says to myself, where am I headed for? What direction should I follow? A number of years ago, I received as a gift at a dinner where I was being honored something unusual. It was not a plaque, for which I was very happy. It was not a tribute, which also I was very happy. The chairman was into antique books, and he had come across a Yalkut Shimoni. A Yalkut Shimoni, which then he rebound for the presentation with an inscription on the title page to me. I cherish that sefer. And I'll tell you why I cherish that sefer. Because that sefer happens to be 210 years old. Not too many of us have svarim that are in good condition, mint condition almost, that are 210 years old. And I have a Yalkut Shimoni that is 210 years old. And it was printed, in order to be able to last that long, it was printed on paper which was made from linen. And that's why it's been able to withstand the ravages of time. And I'm a great believer that when you come across a sefer that you haven't really looked at for quite some time, it usually is min hashamayim that you should find something in that sefer that you are going to be using, that you're going to be sharing with others. And I'm going to read to you a keta, a selection, from the Yalkut Shimoni. And the Yalkut Shimoni is a collection of medrashim on the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. this happens to be at the end of Nitzavim, going into Vayelech. And it quotes a very important person. It quotes Eliyahu HaNavi. Now we know that there are Midrashim that are called Tana Devei Eliyahu. Tana Devei Eliyahu is attributed to Eliyahu HaNavi. So Eliyahu HaNavi is someone that everyone is makabel. And after all, he is the one that is going to come to herald the coming of Mashiach. And in this medrash, Eliyahu is talking. Let me tell you what Eliyahu says. Eliyahu says, Pam achas oyisi mahalech. I was once walking on the road, umatsosi edam echad, and I found a person. V'hoyo mislotzeitz umalibi. That means he was mocking me. He was making fun of me. He was making fun of the whole yesod of Yiddishkeit. He was mocking me. He was mocking Torah. And so I said to him, Amarti lo, Ma toshiv liyotzricha liyom hadin? What will you say to your Creator on the Day of Judgment? What are you going to say to him? He's going to ask you questions. Are you prepared to answer? And what are you going to answer? What are you going to say? So he said to me, Bina v'das lo nidna li she'ekha v'eshna. So he's not ka stama gobel yung. He has a soul. He has sensitivity. He says, God never gave me the intelligence and the ability to be able to study Torah, be it Torah Shebichtav, or be it the oral Torah. I don't have that bina. So I said to him, Bini, malachtecha, what do you do? What is your occupation? How do you make a living? How do you make panasa? So Amali, so he said to me that I am a fisherman. And I go out with nets and I catch many, many fish, bring them to shore and sell them on the market. Fresh fish for sale. So he said, sire then. So I said to him, Mi Landacha, who taught you how to take flax and to make of that flax a net? Who taught you how to spread the net and to catch all those fish? Where did you learn that? So this man said to me, well, I'll be frank with you. He said, Bina nosnu li min ha-shamayim. They implanted in my mind the ability and the knowledge to know how to make a proper kind of a fisherman's net and to catch these fish. So I said to him, if you have seichel, and you have bina, and you have das, which you yourself say God has given you to be able to make a net and to become a successful fisherman and to catch the fish and to sell them and make a parnasa, then how much easier is it for Torah to be able to be assimilated by you? Because of Torah it is said, and we read it in the Parsha, Ki korif elecha hadover ma'od. It's very close to you. It's part of your living. And that is what Hashem says to us in His Torah. And you're going to say that lo nitnu lecha min hashamayim? Why can't you use the same intelligence that you learn how to make a net and to catch fish? Why don't you use that same intelligence to learn a pasuk of Chumash? Why don't you use that same intelligence to learn a Mishnah? Miyad heirim kola. He lifted up his voice and he began to cry. He began to cry. Ubacha. And he cried and cried. Acha Mautilai Tila said to him, don't feel badly. Al Yerelacha. Why? Sheko Boe Olam. Because all human beings give the answer that you just gave to me. Everyone gives this tshuva. Everyone gives this answer. And therefore, you're not alone. Every human being says what you say. Simple medrash, a simple yalkut. A yalkut that I read in a sefer that's 210 years old and is as fresh as though it had been written just today or yesterday. But isn't that true? We all have that native intelligence. We all have that seichel. We have been granted the intellect, the insight, the ability to understand. Alachas kama v'kama, if we are b'nei Avraham Yisroel v'Yaakov, if we are the children of Sora Rivka and Rachel and Leah, if we are the children of our forefathers, we have good hands. And therefore the question is, why don't we visit ourselves? Why don't we pay attention to the internal policeman? Why don't we pay attention to that which is said to us every day and every night when we make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, not just in Aseres Yemei Teshuva, not just in the week of Slichos, but when we come and we are confronted by Hashem sitting on the Kisei Hadin, which is also a Kisei Rachamim, when He asks us these questions, Ma Noima L'Yem Hadin, what are we going to answer? What are we going to answer? And that internal kind of intelligence, that internal understanding of what the tafkid of a person is, what is my purpose and mission in life, that is of the utmost importance. And that's really why we're here this evening. We're here this evening to find the compass, but not a compass to draw a circle, but a compass to find the proper destination. That's why we're here this evening, in order to be reminded of what our purpose and mission in life is. And that's why we have gathered here in our shul, people from the shul, people from the community, people from the neighborhood, because of the fact that we have to every once in a while, if only once a year, we have to ask ourselves these questions. I'm just going to end by reading to you a story that is brought in the Gemara. Story in the Gemara about a man whose name was Ilish. The Gemara in Erva. Also the Gemara in Gittin. And this is what the Gemara tells us. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Ilish was being held captive. He had been captured. He was being held for ransom. And he heard a raven calling to him. He was in the prison with another man who apparently knew and understood the language of birds. So he said to him, he said, "What is he saying?" So the man says to him, "He's saying, Ilish, run away. It's a good time to escape. You can make it. You can get out of this dungeon. Brach, brach, Ilish, run away." But he didn't believe the raven, because the raven is a bird that is considered to be untrustworthy. So he ignored the advice. But then a dove came. And the dove also called out to him. And he said to his fellow prisoner, "Can you tell me what the dove is saying?" He says, "Yes, the dove is also saying, Ilish brach, Ilish brach. It's a good time. You can make it. Run away. Get out of this dungeon." So this time, he listened. Rabbi Kveger says a fascinating thing on the Sol Gemara. Rabbi Kveger says that Ilish himself knew the language of birds. He did know. He understood the language of birds. Now, if he understood the language of birds, then why did he have to ask the fellow prisoner to tell him what the bird was saying? And not once, but twice. First with the raven, then with the dove. So Rabbi Kveger says, because Odom Korov Eitzelazma, a person cannot trust himself. You hear things because you want to hear it. You hear voices, and you hear them saying what you would like to hear, but it's not necessarily so. And that's why Ilish turned to the other fellow and said, "I can't trust myself, because I'm a nokei agadavar. It involves me. It affects me. Tell me what the bird said." And so Chaim Shmulevitz, the Rosh Yeshiva and the Mashgiach of the Mir Yeshiva, once said on this Gemara and the whole story, he says, a person ultimately can never trust himself. He is a nogei abadavar. He has a stake in it. And therefore, how does he know? Even when the inner voice talks to him, how does he know how true it is or how much it's wishful thinking? He doesn't. That's why you must always check with another person. What did you hear? What do you say? What do you think? You know why we have Musar Shmuasim before Yontif? Because we can't really trust our own inner voice. We have to have others teach us and tell us. And hopefully, they are talking to us in the language of Torah and of Emes. And hopefully they are the ones who are saying to us what was said originally to that fisherman. And we are hearing a voice that we should pay attention to. And when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we need as many teachers as possible. We need instruction. We need inspiration. And we need to hear it from those who speak rooted in the emes of Torah and of Yirah Shemayim. And that's the purpose of our kinnus this evening, and that's the purpose of all gatherings during Slichas, during Aseres HaMetshuva, drushas on Shabbos, drushas on Yontif, drushas on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But I would end by saying to you, pay attention and have a Shnas Chayim.
Does the Rebbe want to stay up here?